Yeah, okay. Hello, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Let's kneel. We're going to pray. It's going to go off again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right, by your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We trust you. We love you. And we worship you. We thank you for giving us another day of rest. We thank you so much, Father God, for all the answered prayers throughout the week, especially those that are on our prayer list, our loved ones, and especially our loved ones that are lost. And even the complete strangers that we have on the prayer list, Father God, we pray for them as well. And Father, for those that attack, we thank you for the trials and tribulations because it is answer to prayer. We need our characters honed. We need to get rid of our flesh. And so we thank you even for the attack. We pray that you're merciful with those that come against your children, and you bless them with eyes that see, so that one day we could be walking with them in heaven with a smile on their face. It'd be so much better than having them die, of course. We thank you for today's reading of the Word and anything that we get into when we go into Sister White's writings and that. We pray that you cut our hearts with new showbread today. And we thank you, Father God, for giving us scripture that never changes. Thank you again for the forgiveness of sins and leading us to everlasting life. In Jesus' name. All right, we're still in Steps to Christ. I think we passed the midway. We're on page 86. The chapter entitled The Work and the Life. The Work and the Life. For those of you that weren't here last night, we had a pretty interesting room last night. The Lord blessed us with an opportunity to share some facts regarding some of our brethren that are having a rough go right now embracing truth. So keep them in your prayers, of course, especially the ones that attack, because we're only doing what we're called to do. We're only, you know, sharing the truth. We can only do what we have to do. So anyway, chapter is entitled The Work and the Life, page 86 of the little booklet, Steps to Christ. If any of you online need a little booklet, send me an email with your address. You can get, there's a contact us page on the website. You just stick your address in there and I'll mail one out to you as soon as possible. All right, starting off at the top, page 86. God is the source of life and light and joy to the universe. Like rays of light from the sun, the streams of water bursting from a living spring, blessings flow out from him to all his creatures. And wherever the life of God is in the hearts of men, it will flow out to others in love and blessing. So, you guys hear feedback? I must be too close to the... Oh, there's like a hum? Hold on. Testing. As you're getting feedback. That's different. I didn't have that other mic on. I got the floor mic on. Oh, my voice twice. Alright. How about now? Is it better now? Sound is okay, but okay, it's better now. Okay, so I turned down. But I had to move the pulpit back a little bit, and I guess my voice is going right into that floor mic now. Is lectern, pulpit, whatever you want to call it.
Pulpit is great.
Okay, lectern. All right, chapter 2, page 86. And there's no feedback anymore. Okay, good. Our Savior's joy was in the uplifting and redemption of fallen men. For this he counted not his life dear unto himself, but endured the cross, despising the shame. So angels are ever engaged in working for the happiness of others. This is their joy. That which selfish hearts would regard as humiliating service, ministering to those who are wretched and in every way inferior in character and rank, is the work of the sinless angels. Can you imagine knowing, I mean, think about that, an angel is a superhuman entity. It is far superior to human beings, we know that. But yet, their joy is to minister unto us. We're puny, we're wretched, we're sinful, we're unthankful, inferior in character by all means, and yet these angels, this is their joy. Could we have such a giving spirit, man? You know, that'd be... So that's what the Lord is bringing us towards, I'm sure. Answering our prayers in that regard. This is their joy, that with selfish hearts, that which selfish hearts would regard as humiliating service, ministering to those who are wretched and in every way inferior in character and rank, is the work of the sinless angels. The spirit of Christ's self-sacrificing love is the spirit that pervades heaven and is the very essence of bliss. This is the spirit that Christ's followers will possess. That's a nice word, bliss. No worry. It's kind of like a childlike existence. I can remember before I was an adult and started having the bills and all this other stuff, you know, the rent, car payments. Well, I don't have any car payments, but you know what I mean. You know, the everyday run-of-the-mill expenses. When I was a kid, you didn't have those. Your biggest worry was whether or not the allowance was going to be enough to cover what the candy bar you wanted to buy or whatever, you know. It was, you really had no anxiety, you know. All the meals were paid for. You had free room and board. And, you know, you didn't even have to buy your own clothes. You didn't have to pay to get your hair cut. And then when you become an adult, all this stuff just lands on you. And for years... Struggle. I mean, just constantly for years. And then I became a Christian. I mean, before I was a Christian, I had all these, you know, bills and problems. Couldn't get this paid, couldn't get that paid. Electric was shut off. I can't even imagine how many times we had our electric shut off years ago. And there was enough money coming in to pay it, but I wasn't paying it. We were, you know, blowing it on whatever I wanted to blow it on. And, when I became a Christian, that bliss, that peace, just came to me. It was such a blessing to be able to say, okay, fine, I still got the bills, I still got to pay this, I still got to pay that, but now it's like, the money's there, pay it, it's no big deal. You know, we get just enough to pay the bills. And that gives you that peace, it's kind of like a childlike existence. It's not like, when I was a kid, I was... As long as you're doing the ways of the Lord, of course. You know, if you're obeying your father. Yeah, I'm not going in the bars, blowing it. I'm not shooting billiards and gambling and doing all this other stuff anymore. But when I was younger, I always relied on my daddy to take care of all the stuff. And then when I was an adult, I stepped out of the house. Didn't have a daddy anymore. When I became a Christian, I had a Heavenly Father now. And if you look out in the fields, you see the lilies of the field, you know. I mean, even the little gerbils that are living in our front lawn. Well, ground squirrels, we call them gerbils because they have a gerbil spirit. I mean, they do all that digging all the time, and they're little, clean little guys. They're cute. But they don't carry a briefcase to work. I never saw a single bird in my life step into a bank asking for a loan. You know, never seen it happen. They have bliss just like the rest of us that are Christians. As long as you walk in the will of your Father, He'll take care of you. Continuing, it says, this is the spirit that Christ's followers will possess, the work that they will do. When the love of Christ is enshrined in the heart like sweet fragrance, it cannot be hidden. Its holy influence will be felt by all with whom we come in contact. The spirit of Christ in the heart is like a spring in the desert, flowing to refresh all and making those who are ready to perish eager to drink for the water of life. That's a good analogy like that, because we're all in a desert. We're all in our 40 years. We're all waiting to get, you know, to the promised land. You know, we're going through it. Love to Jesus will be manifested in a desire to work as he worked for the blessing and uplifting of humanity. It will lead to love, tenderness, and sympathy toward all the creatures of our Heavenly Father's care, even the ones that attack you, all of them. The Savior's life on earth was not a life of ease and devotion to himself, but he toiled with persistent, earnest, untiring effort for the salvation of lost mankind. From the manger to Calvary, he followed the path of self-denial and sought not to be released from arduous tasks, painful travels, and exhausting care and labor. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Of course, that's Matthew 20:28. This was the one great object of his life. Everything else was secondary and subservient. It was his meat and drink to do the will of God and to finish his work. Self and self-interest had no part in his labor. So those who are partakers of the grace of Christ will be ready to make any sacrifice that others for whom he died may share the heavenly gift. It's not heavenly purchase either. Well, you know, most of us understand that, you know, the theology of the gift. We don't do anything to get it. He just gives it. They will do all they can to make the world better for their stay in it. This spirit is the sure outgrowth of a soul truly converted. And it's not so that I can leave something behind. You know, that's, some people do that. It says, I want to leave my mark in the world. You know? Why? It's all going to burn up one day. I mean, what good is your mark going to do 1,000 years from now after all said and done? After the second death and all the ashes on the planet start to regrow and we're walking on them. You know, I mean, what good is your mark then? I mean, I can understand somewhat of a desire to leave a mark maybe in King David's day or even in, you know, Adam and Eve's day when they were cast out of the garden. But still they understood, even though it was going to be 6,000 years later, it's all going to burn up anyway. Why leave your mark? It's best to leave something that can't burn up, and that's sharing Jesus with others so that they too can become eternal. Leaving a mark in the world, like, you know, like with Trump, for example, he wants to have as many big buildings as he can get, or Bill Gates with his billions of dollars worth of software, and you know, leave his mark in the world and make computers run better or something. Well, they're actually not running much better with his software, but still, they all have a materialistic view of what they want to leave behind. And some people even say, you know, I want to, you know, have kids and let them be left behind. But then, too, if they're not Christians, they're going to burn up like the rest of this stuff. So that's not why we do it, what we do. They will do all they can to make the world better for their stay in it. And when you make the world better, you're making the, you know, the people that are in it better. And, of course, they're going to become eternal beings. This spirit is the sure outgrowth of a soul truly converted. No sooner does one come to Christ than there is born in his heart a desire to make known to others what a precious friend he has found in Jesus. The saving and sanctifying truth cannot be shut up in this heart. If we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and are filled with the joy of his indwelling spirit, we shall not be able to hold our peace. I mean, try it sometime. Who was it? Was it Joseph or Jeremiah? I get the J's mixed up like I got with Peter and Paul. Where it says, this is a fire that burns within. I cannot quench it. I have to speak these things. Or even Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men, when they told the apostles to shut up. Don't speak of this way to the people. Don't talk about Jesus. So we ought to obey God rather than men. You can't contain something like this. Everybody knows, especially a babe in Christ. When they first find Christ, you can't shut that person up. That's where the term sometimes is thrown around called Jesus freak. Because people, you know, like when they find Christ, they get a little bit, you know, bubbly. You know, let's just put it that way. Some people get a little overboard on it. And then it's nice to be able to keep that, you know, spirit, if you will, for the rest of their lives. But a lot of people, you know, they don't. And it's best just to get right in two of them right off. And continue on from that day forward, and have it have his truth planted in fertile soil. But anyway, continuing on, she says, "If we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we shall have something to tell." Like Philip, when he found the Savior, we shall invite others into his presence. We shall seek to present to them the attractions of Christ in the unseen realities of the world to come. You know, so many people want to preach hellfire and brimstone. If you don't claim Christ, you're going to burn in hell. Oh, you know, that's true, but is it necessary to dwell on that when it would be better just to say, hey, look what you're giving up? Talk to them about heaven. Talk to them about living for eternity without any boredom, ever being tired, and being able to run at a full sprint for hours on end without getting winded, holding your breath underwater for hours, or building a mansion of your own on the planet Earth while you still have a mansion that Christ built and his Father in the city, New Jerusalem, and eternal youth and vigor, never aging. I mean, there's all sorts of things that, you know, the children grow up as calves in the stall in the streets, and there's a bunch of little kids in heaven. And it's just, I think it's better to let them know what they're giving up. And then if they're persistent, the fact of the matter is, there is a hell. But it's not like the devil or the Catholic Church or a lot of the other churches are preaching it. You don't live for eternity in hellfire, screaming at the top of your lungs. That is not the character of our God. He's merciful. His mercy is as high as his justice. One day those fires will go out. Malachi chapter 4 speaks plainly about the fact that we're going to walk on the ashes of the wicked. The fire will go out. Some are going to burn a little longer than others, of course, but it will eventually go out. The Bible is plain. It's called the second death, not the second life. It's called the wages of sin is death, not a tummy ache or eternal life floating in fire like an ember, like purgatory. Yeah. Like that painting we saw as Catholics. Remember that one painting, Fran? I thought that was amazing how they made this painting. And the top part of the painting, it's a bunch of people standing around. And, of course, everybody's without clothing for some reason. And then there's this big cavern, like a chasm. It's a chasm. And underneath the chasm, there's a big cavern. And the chasm is splitting open on the earth, and it shows the underworld with all this fire. And it shows people falling into the hole, and it shows the demons in there with pitchforks stabbing people, but their skin isn't pierced. They're sticking the pitchfork in them and shoving it so far it's distorting their bodies, but it's not going through. It's twisting them. It's like, for example, one guy got the pitchfork right in the corner of his eye on the outside of his skull, and it's stretching that a good foot, you know? It's trying to show as much pain as it can, and it's showing the demons in power. They're in control. They own it. They are ruling. That is not the truth. The demons don't rule, and our God does not desire to listen to people scream for eternity. That's not his care. I mean, think about it. You're walking around in heaven. It's been a couple of million years. You're walking with Christ one day. You're going down some beautiful little path with pretty little birdies coming around, and the deers are hopping by, and you can smell the fragrance of all the flowers and all the stuff, and your hair is just like wafting in the perfect weather and wind and all this other stuff, and you see the smoke off in the distance, and you hear this screaming and that, like this muffled screaming. And he asked the Lord, what is it? You know, I know it's just all those people that didn't make it to heaven. I kind of like listening to them scream. They're in fire. They're on fire for all eternity. That is not the character of a loving God. That is what they preach. Hell is grave. It means death. But yes, some will burn a little longer than others, but it will go out. And when it says the worm dieth not and you can't quench the fire, it's an eternal fire. It's like an atomic bomb. Go ahead and quench that one. You can't quench it. It's going to burn until it goes out, until the fuel is gone. Same thing with eternal fires of damnation. If that's not true, then the exact same eternal fires that are used at the second death are said to have been used at Sodom and Gomorrah. So get on your roof, look to the east. Is it still burning? No. It went out, didn't it? Why? Well, whatever was left to burn, burned up. Yeah, the demons will burn, and it even says in the scriptures that the soul will be destroyed. Now, we know the soul is just two ingredients. You got the dust of the earth and the breath of life. And that's what makes a soul. Well, that'll be destroyed as well. But a lot of people preach that the soul is immortal. You never die. And the devil's been saying that since the Garden of Eden, in that tree, when he told Eve, when he called God a liar, "Ye shall not surely die." All right, continuing, it says, we shall seek to present to them the attractions of Christ and the unseen realities of the world to come. There will be an intensity of desire to follow in the path that Jesus trod. There will be an earnest longing that those around us may behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, John 1:29. And the effort to bless others will react in blessings upon ourselves. It's the same thing even with the enemy. Someone's attacking you, pray for them. It's better for, I mean, if I was attacking somebody, I'd want them to pray for me because, you know, look at Paul. You know, sooner or later you might find the truth and become, you know, a mighty tool in the hand of God. So pray for them. You might be, you know, this person that's, like, there's a whole mess of people that are attacking ministry now, but what if they're a bunch of Pauls? Pray for them. And if it ends up to where they're, you know, useless or reprobate, you know, they'll get their just desserts, of course, and it'll be like we're heaping burning coals upon their head by praying for them, or the Lord's heaping burning coals on their head. So, and don't do it for revenge, because, come on, be honest with yourself. If they knew what they were doing was wrong, they wouldn't do it. Every wicked person on this planet, if they knew for a fact, you know, the absolute truth, the end result of it all, and they realized the path that they were on were going to make them burn, you know, they wouldn't do it. And people have told them, but some people just don't want to hear the truth, so what can you do? Continuing, it says, in the effort to bless others, we'll react in blessings upon ourselves. This was the purpose of God in giving us a part to act in the plan of redemption. He has granted men the privilege of becoming partakers of the divine nature and, in their turn, of diffusing blessings to their fellow men. This is the highest honor, the greatest joy that it is possible for God to bestow upon men. So don't forsake it. Go for it. Those who thus become participants in labors of love are brought nearest to their Creator. And isn't that our goal, to get to draw nigh unto Christ, and He'll draw nigh unto us? Don't we want our characters changed? And don't be afraid. Pray for trials and tribulations. Don't be afraid. Pray for them anyway. We need them to get through the, you know, to have our characters changed. And think about this as well. I was just thinking about this last night. Put the enemy in God's hands. Whatever happens, happens. The Lord's in control. You can't catch him off guard. Whatever they're, you know, and it's not just the one guy that's attacking now. There's a lot of attacks that we're seeing in this family, and I know some of our friends online are seeing a bunch of attacks too. It's not just one person. There's a bunch of them that I'm seeing. There's about four right now that are attacking this ministry personally. And this is not counting the everyday run-of-the-mill attacks that I get because of the website. But anyway, getting back, it says, God might have committed the message of the gospel and all the work of loving ministry to the heavenly angels. He might have employed other means for accomplishing his purpose, but in his infinite love, he chose to make us co-workers with himself, with Christ and the angels, that we might share the blessing, the joy, the spiritual uplifting which results from this unselfish ministry. He is letting us go through whatever we're going through so that we can better reflect Christ and bless others in this unselfish ministry. We're co-workers with him. And he went through it. We know what Jesus went through. And he was completely innocent. We're not. You know, we do things that we shouldn't be doing. Continuing, we are brought into sympathy with Christ through the fellowship of his sufferings. Every act of self-sacrifice for the good of others strengthens the spirit of beneficence, is that what that is? Beneficence? She comes up with these $20 words sometimes. I don't know. You guys see it. Beneficence in the giver's heart, allying him more closely to the Redeemer of the world, who was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, and that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. And it is only as we thus fulfill the divine purpose in our creation that life can be a blessing to us, or you get the bliss, too, you know? If you will go to work as Christ designs, that his disciples shall, and win souls for him, you will feel the need of a deeper experience and a greater knowledge in divine things, and will hunger and thirst after righteousness. You will plead with God, and your faith will be strengthened, and your soul will drink deeper draughts at the well of salvation. Encountering opposition and trials will drive you to the Bible and to prayer. You will grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ and will develop a rich experience. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Because that's what we're all being blessed with. Because none of us are immune to this. I get your emails. And I'm sure you get mine, and, you know, we're all in this together. The spirit of unselfish labor for others gives depth, stability, and Christ-like loveliness to the character, and brings peace and happiness to its possessor. The aspirations are elevated. There is no room for sloth or selfishness. Those who thus exercise the Christian graces will grow and will become strong to work for God. They will have a clear spiritual perceptions, a steady, growing faith, and an increased power in prayer. There is the ultimate. I mean, that is what keeps me going all the time, is like whenever anybody or the enemy will tempt you to do something. Like, sometimes, think about it. People will attack you just to tempt you to break commandment number 6. Oh, I ain't killing anybody. Well, hey, if you think of hatred in your mind, it's no different than thinking lustful thoughts in your mind. You commit adultery in your mind, you can commit murder in your mind. And I like having my prayers answered. I like it when, you know, I think it's such a blessing. Sometimes the Lord takes a while to answer prayer. Sometimes you can't even finish the prayer and it's answered sometimes. I like those. I mean, we all like that. And we're not doing it for the power, of course. It's because it's what I like. It's the edification. It's the confirmation. You know, it's still to this day. And I'm almost 50, and it gets me to where I cannot grasp the depth of realization that He hears me when I speak in prayer, or you, or anybody. You know, He actually hears you. And then, I mean, because that's enough to boggle your mind right there, that He's actually listening. What really floors me is He answers it, which confirms He heard you. He didn't even use a phone. You know? There are no two cans with a string that I'm pulling real taut and talking. Like, me and Lee were joking about that the other day, about, you know, using a couple of cans with a string in it or whatever. Or we don't have a telephone that goes to heaven. But Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 33 says, call unto me. So I have his phone number if you want to use it that way. Or is it 33, verse 3? God's phone number. But the thing is, this is one of the reasons I won't lie or won't do this or won't do that, because I see the power in prayer. And it's not for a fleshly power. It's knowing that my Father cares for me. He will take care of me. And if there's a situation that I need His help, He'll answer me. I'm not messing that up. I'm not messing up that relationship. And I thank You for the strength to continue on. And sure, we mess up, we all do, but confess your sins and He is faithful and just to forgive us. You didn't lie. You can't lie. Continuing, the Spirit of God moving upon their spirit calls forth the sacred harmonies of the soul in answer to the divine touch. Those who thus devote themselves to unselfish effort for the good of others are most surely working out their own salvation. Let's stop there. It's a good place to pick up, or I don't know, let's see. Yeah, we can stop there, because it's a good spot to pick up again next week, where it says the only way to grow in grace is to be disinterestedly doing the work, the very work which Christ has enjoined upon us. So yeah, it's a whole new topic kind of right there. So we'll pick that up again next week. I'll be back in a moment. I'm going to get a drink of water. So be right back, folks.